Our reading is from Luke's Gospel, chapter 11, beginning at verse 5. Then Jesus said to them, "Suppose you have a friend, and you go to him at midnight and say, 'Friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread. A friend of mine on a journey has come to me, and I have no food to offer him.' And suppose the one inside answers, 'Don't bother me, the door is already locked, and my children and I are in bed. I can't get up and give you anything.' I tell you, even though he will not get up and give you the bread because of friendship, yet because of your shameless audacity, he will surely get up and give you as much as you need." This is the word of the Lord. Thank you to God.
Richard, thank you very much for reading for us. Your word is a lamp unto my path, so let me lead us in a prayer as we turn to it now. Our Father in heaven, thank you that we can call you our Father if we trust in you. And thank you that you are a Father that doesn't leave us in the dark, but you're a Father that speaks to us. Thank you that you have spoken to us through your Son, and your Son's words, his story here, is written down for us to read and absorb, and your Spirit is at work at changing our lives and our hearts so that we might love you and want to speak to you more. And we pray that you would do that right now, in Jesus' name. Amen. Gareth. All right, Gareth and his son, they were on a trip to Nepal and driving through remote villages. They were there in their kind of pickup truck, you know, open back sort of thing, standing at the back of the pickup truck. And they were traveling through these kind of remote villages in the foothills of the Himalaya Mountains. And there was a familiar experience Gareth and his son got every time they went through a village. They saw the little children run out of their houses, run down the dusty path, little road, after this truck, shouting, "1 rupee, 1 rupee!" And they got it in every single village. But there was one boy in one village that will always stick in Gareth's memory. So they drove down this village, this little track, like every other one, in their pickup truck. And all the little children were shouting, "1 rupee." And then there was a little boy that clocked eyes with Gareth. He looked at him. He had a glint in his eye, a smile on his face. And he shouted, "2 rupee, 2 rupee." And do you know what happened? Gareth, he kind of banged on the side of the truck. The driver screeched the truck to a halt. Gareth jumped off the back of the truck. He went up to that little boy. And he gave him 2 rupees. It's a lovely true story, isn't it? But it's also a revealing story for us this morning. Because, as we've mentioned, this half term we're thinking about prayer. Jesus, from Luke's Gospel, is teaching us how to pray. And this morning we're going to be asking ourselves, what sort of prayer does God our Father want to hear from us as his children? Or what are our prayers like? How do you pray? Are you a no rupee prayer? Are you a 1 rupee prayer? Or are you a 2 rupee prayer? We've mentioned last week, we were looking at the beginning of Luke chapter 11 and Jesus teaching the Lord's Prayer like a blueprint, a model for us to follow and absorb in our prayers, to dictate our sort of priorities in prayer. We're to be desperately dependent on God as we pray. We're to talk to God our Father with intimacy and with awe. And now Jesus continues teaching about prayer, telling us this parable, short parable. A story that we've just found out about, that Richard's just read. And it's all about praying big 2 rupee prayers. Let's have a look at it. Verse 5, we pick it up. Then Jesus said to them, that's the disciples, suppose you have a friend and you go to him at midnight and say, friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread. A friend of mine is on a journey, has come to me, and I have no food to offer him. So picture the situation today. It's late. You've turned in to go to sleep. And you've got your phone pings. You've got a text on your phone. You pick it up, have a look who it is. It's your mate, and he's saying, hey, I'm stranded. I'm in Crouch End. The last night bus has gone. I've got nowhere to go. Can I come and crash at yours tonight? Of course, you reply. That's fine. No problem at all. It's what friends do. And he turns up, and you find out he's starving hungry. I said, don't worry. I'm your mate. It's fine. Ah, shame. The cupboards are totally bare. And my Tesco delivery, it comes to other supermarkets available, it comes tomorrow morning. Oh, no, don't worry. It's okay. I'll whiz round the corner. Loads of shops in Crouch End. Co-op, Tesco, Waitrose, M&S. One of them is going to be open, but they're all closed. So kind of head sort of sinks down. You come walking back home embarrassed. You want to feed your friend. So what are you going to do? Well, you pop round the corner, don't you? You pop round to Sam's house, your mate. You get there. Shame. Lights are off. Oh, no, that won't stop me. So you start with a timid little knock. No answer. So then you go to the doorbell. You ring that twice. Still nothing. But you notice Sam's bedroom window. It's open a crack. It's hot at the moment. So you start shouting, Sam, are you there? I need your help. And after a while, click, the light goes on. Wonderful. And bleary-eyed Sam, he kind of peers out through the window. What do you want? Sam says. You reply, bread, Sam. I need bread. Give me bread. Just a sandwich. Anything will do. My mate Harry, he's turned up and I got no food to offer him. All I need, please give me help, is just a little bit of bread. So did you get the picture? Right, the person in this story is the host, and it's like we're the host. The host there is in real need. I think today we sort of missed the full force of the story here. Because we're in first century hospitality culture that was absolutely massive, absolutely huge. So it would be shameful for that host not to be able to provide the food that the guest needs. The host is in real, real need right now. And remember that this is a parable Jesus told his disciples about prayer. And Jesus is comparing his disciples, all Christians, to the host. We are in real need. We need help. We saw that last week. Jesus finished the Lord's Prayer thinking that we are desperately dependent. And if you're a Christian, you know that you did that for the first time when you became a Christian. You repented of your sin, and you ran to God for help. And if you're sitting here thinking, I probably am not a Christian, then that is the best thing in your life that you can do, is to say sorry for your sin and run to God. But running to God, it's not just how we start off life as a Christian, it's how we carry on every single day as well. You see, prayer is a kind of learned helplessness. It's being desperately dependent on God. Jesus taught us that last week in the Lord's Prayer. So like the host, we are in need. But let's pick up the story again, verse 7. And suppose the one inside at the house answers, don't bother me, the door's already locked, and my children and I are in bed. I can't get up and give you anything. So you're outside Sam's house again. And what's his reply going to be to you? Well, he says, mate, seriously, I can't believe you've just woken me up. Look, it's the middle of the night. I'm asleep. The kids are asleep. There's no light on. Do the kind of culturally respectable thing and go away. I can't help you. Then the window sort of slams shut, bang. But you don't give up. You keep going. You keep calling out to him, Sam, Sam. And then you hear it. It starts off quietly and it gets louder and louder and louder. You hear the children crying. Oh, crumbs, no, that's the worst thing that can happen. Oh, no, I've woken up Sam's kids. But you keep knocking and you keep ringing the door. And after a little while, the door does open. Sam pops out his hand and gives you some bread. You see, the story's kind of funny, isn't it? I think it's supposed to make us laugh a little bit. But whilst it might be funny, it is also full of tension. Full of tension. You see, the neighbor, he is irritated. He is bothered by his friend and his friend's request. And we've seen that the disciples are to be compared, and Christians are to be compared to the host. But please hear this loud and clear. If there's no other line you get, remember today, remember this. God is not like the neighbor. God is not like the neighbor. Because I think that's why the story is revealing. Doesn't it reveal how we might actually think God treats our prayer requests as we ask him for things? Do we think God responds this way, like the neighbor? See, we might think we have a strict God, you know, a kind of stiff upper lip kind of God. We don't want to bring our requests to him. We don't want to bother him. Or we might think we have a stingy God. If I get anything from God, it's kind of given begrudgingly. He doesn't really want to give it to me. Or we might think we have a silent God. He'd prefer not to get up and out of bed and answer our requests. Now, if any of those ring true for you at all, or if you're here and you're really not sure about God, then come back next week because Jesus' teaching continues and we'll see what God is like. And I tell you now, it is beyond wonderful. It's beyond wonderful. But let's turn to Jesus' conclusion of the story now. Verse 8, Jesus says, I tell you, even though the neighbor will not get up and give you bread because of friendship, yet because of your shameless audacity, he will surely get up and give you as much as you need. Jesus says to his disciples, the neighbor does give the host the bread he needs. Why? Because of the outrageousness of the request, because he is shamelessly audacious in what he asks for. It's because he has got gall or kind of nerve. He's willing to go to great lengths, willing to suffer cultural rebuke to get that bread. He is in serious need, and so he asks a big request of his friend. And remember, Jesus draws a comparison from the host to us, his disciples. And so Jesus is saying to us this morning about prayer, pray to God your Father with shameless audacity. You think that was in the Bible? Pray with gall, with nerve. Pray with kind of chutzpah, with welly, give it oomph. Pray big, bold prayers. Pray not caring what others think. Pray ignoring cultural conventions. Pray non-British, non-reserved prayers. Pray with big confidence in a big God. Pray like that little boy in the foothills of the Himalayas. Pray 2 rupee prayers. But I recognize you might sit here and think, well, that doesn't sound very humble. I'm his child and I'm speaking to God. I'm not quite sure I want to pray like that. Now, we absolutely want to be humble as we pray to God. I'm a creature, and he's my creator. But being humble isn't the same thing as being timid in our prayers. Humility is small me, big Jesus. Being timid is bringing God down onto my level, kind of domesticating God, manipulating him, putting him in a box, neat and tidy. So when you do ask him for something, we sort of know that he's going to be able to answer because it's quite a timid prayer. It's sort of down on our level. He could probably answer that kind of prayer. But there's self-protection there, isn't there? We try to limit God. Jesus does want us to be humble, absolutely. But he doesn't want us to be timid in our prayers. He wants us to pray big, bold prayers. Now, this is the Open Doors little booklet watch list 2023, a list of the most 50 most persecuted countries in the world. There are loads of copies on the table over there. Do take one, take it home with you and pray. Because there are all sorts of prayer requests in here from people of those persecuted countries. They absolutely pray humble prayers and ask you to pray humble prayers for them. But they're definitely not timid prayers. These are big, bold prayers that they ask for. They're prayers for their church, prayers for their persecutors, prayers for their country in ruins, prayers for God's priorities to be made known. Big, bold prayers. Do take a copy. And we do want to pray big, bold prayers, like these guys, with God's priorities. We saw last week from the Lord's Prayer, we want to pray for his name and his kingdom and his will, his priorities, to be our priorities in prayer as well. We want his priorities to be central in our big, bold prayers. But praying big, bold prayers is something that I think John Newton, you know, he wrote Amazing Grace. He also wrote these words in another hymn. Thou art coming to a king, large petitions to thee bring. For his grace and power are such, none can ever ask too much. Do we believe that? That we can never ask too much of God? I think it's a song that really echoes what Jesus has been saying here. That from a place of neediness and with humility, we pray shamelessly audacious prayers. Big, bold, 2 rupee prayers to our big God. But I think it does raise some objections that you might be having right now in your minds. Objections like, why bother praying when God's in charge anyway? Or what about all my unanswered prayers? They are big questions to ask, and we need answers to them, and we'll be coming on to think about some of those questions next week. But I still think there is one very real objection that we might be having this morning to praying big, bold prayers. And it's this, should be on the screen behind me. Praying like this, big, bold prayers, it just hurts too much. Praying like this hurts too much. Maybe we have in the past prayed big, bold, 2 rupee kind of prayers about real issues in our lives. Issues that deeply hurt and affect us. And we seemingly got a silent God or a stingy God. So now praying big, bold prayers, it kind of is off limits to us in our Christian lives. It's way too exposing. We're going to become way too vulnerable if I pray that kind of thing. And if I pray it, it's going to make the pain even worse. I cannot open myself up like that anymore, God. Is that you? It certainly is me. If that is you, then we mentioned earlier that this parable is kind of funny. Well, it's absolutely not funny, is it? This parable is scary. It's a dangerous story to believe. And so it's so much easier to and safer to kind of self-protect, to pray no rupee or some little 1 rupee prayers. But it's like I think if your life is a room, think of it as your life as being a room. You know, most of the room is well lit. You can see what's going on in most of the room. That is apart from a few dark corners in that room. They don't get the light. They stay hidden in the dark. So to bring them into the light, what you need to do is you need to get a big spotlight. And you need to take the spotlight to those dark corners and shine it into the dark corners of your room. And then when you do, you can start to see what is in the corners of that room. You start to bring them into the light. So in the painful areas of our lives, I know this is hard, and I've been there, but we don't want to let those dark corners be off limits to God. We don't want to self-protect those hard parts of our lives. Let God protect you. And he really does. Let Jesus shine the light of his gospel into those dark corners. Pray big, bold prayers about those issues. Don't hide them in a dark corner. Bring them to the light. Bring them to God. And why would we do that? Well, words we sang or heard sung to us last week, and we're here again at communion today from a song, Gentle and Lowly, kind of sum it up. Because this is who we're praying to. Gentle and lowly, patient and kind, ever approachable, Saviour of mine. All of my weakness meets your embrace. Failure and sin meets compassion and grace. That's why. We can painfully bring our big, bold prayers because we have an ever approachable Saviour. He is the best one to bring our big, bold prayers to, however painful they are, because he is always gentle and lowly, always patient and always kind with you and with me. And if they are prayers, big, bold prayers, that you feel comfortable sharing with one another, please do. A spouse, a friend, someone in your life group, a prayer triplet, even to someone here after the service, and ask others to boldly pray into that prayer request with all the necessary care around it that is needed. But let's pray big, bold prayers for each other. Let's ask for big, bold prayers from each other. And do you know what? One of the best sights after church, I think, I'm sure Adam will agree, is when you look around and you see little groups of people gathering. Clearly someone has shared something hard about their life to someone else, to a little group, and others around them have said, let's pray about that. And they've prayed, I'm sure, big, bold prayers for someone who's shared something big in their life. It's a really wonderful sight to see. So let's keep going with that kind of thing. And here at church, we've been thinking a little bit about prayer already. We want to think about our prayer ministry here on a Sunday morning. And wouldn't it be maybe great if there were some people set aside? So if something had come up for you during the service on a Sunday, something that you've brought to church that you've had kind of weighing you down during the week, you'd bring that to someone who'd be willing to listen and pray. If that's something that you'd love to happen here, more regularly at church, then let me know. And if that's something you'd like to be involved in, be one of those people who listen and pray. Also, come and let me know. That might be, it's just an idea, but it might be one way of growing into being a praying church here at Christ Church. And so we close with one question. What is the one big, bold, 2-rupee prayer you could pray this week? Maybe it's one of those dark corners of your room, your life, that the spotlight, Jesus' spotlight, might shine on. And if you feel able to, who might you share that with? And I want you just to imagine for a moment the impact, the kind of ripple effect here at Christ Church, here in Crouch End, if we prayed 2-rupee prayers, shamelessly audacious prayers. And I think if we were doing that, we might see our church be not just a church that prays, but we'd grow into being a praying church. And why pray like this? Because the Jesus that teaches us, encourages us here to pray like this, is the Jesus who was willing to give up his life on the cross for you and for me. He's not asking anything here that he's not willing to do himself. He gave himself up for you so that me and you could have a living, have a speaking relationship with God our Father. And it's wonderful to remember all that Jesus has done for us at the Lord's table, which we'll remember in very shortly. And that is the motivation to why we want to pray and how we can pray to God our Father. So I'm going to pray and then we're going to sing in response. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, thank you that you are our Father, and thank you for sending your Son to teach us how we can speak to you as our Father. And Lord, we pray now that you would help us reflect on what big, bold, 2-rupee kind of prayers we could pray, how we could come to you with shameless audacity. And please help us think about us as a church family, how we might care for one another and pray for one another, big, bold prayers. Please grow us, Father, as individuals and as a church, to be those that come to you and can't not come to you with big, bold prayers. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.